want to talk about, and it says, I'm born again, now what? It seems to me that there are people who ask the Lord to come into their lives, but then, and they're told that they've been born again, and now they're ready for heaven. And that's true. All of that's true. But I want to preach this morning about I'm born again, now what? One of the reasons that we as Christians live in unbelief and our faith gets hindered is because we lack knowledge about our redemptive rights. Lack of knowledge is the greatest enemy of faith because lack of knowledge concerning God's word brings unbelief. If you don't know what belongs to you, how will you know to stand for it? This happened to me this week. A man came to fix my gate. That might have been last week, but he came to fix my gate. While he was there, he stepped back and he goes, your roof, there's part of it missing. And I didn't notice it because where he was standing at, I don't usually go. And when I went back there, I'm like, oh my goodness, it was down to like the bare wood. And so he goes, you need to get that fixed. Immediately in my mind, I'm thinking, I've got to get this fixed. Me, I've got to pay for this. And so, because that's just how I think. But you know what? Someone said to me, call your insurance company. And I'm like, all right. I do pay them, you know. And that's part of my rights. I call them up. They send out a little guy from Louisiana. And he comes out there. He looks at my roof. He looks at my gate. And he goes, we're going to put a new roof on your house. A whole new roof. And he said, we're going to fix up that gate some more. But see, I wouldn't have known that if I didn't know that I had the privilege of calling my insurance company. It's the same thing with the Word of God. You're promised healing. You're promised salvation. You're promised deliverance. But how are you going to know it if you never get into the Word and find out about it? Sometimes Christians think that they don't deserve to ask God to heal them or to bless them because of their former life, because of what they came out of before they came to the Lord. But according to this verse, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So according to this verse, all of that junk that you did before you came to Jesus, it's passed away. It's gone. I like how babies say it. When you tell them that something is gone, you say, all gone. It's all gone. Let me tell you this morning, it's all gone. It's gone. Hallelujah. But you need to walk around and confess that for a while. You need to say, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because you know why? A lot of times when people are sinners, they have no problem going around saying, I'm one of the worst sinners around. Even the devil don't want me. And they're proud of it. You know what? Now that you're a born-again Christian, you need to walk around saying, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you need to renew your mind by saying what God has done for you when you were born again, what he did for you. And I like what Jesse the Planet says. If you don't like how you were born the first time, get born again. Hold fast to your confession that you're a new creature. You will always rise to the level of your confession. I'm going to say it again. You will always rise to the level of your confession. If you're saying, I can barely get by, that's exactly where you're going to be. But if you say, God's going to heal broken bones, that's exactly what he'll do. What is the level of your confession? God's going to heal me of cancer. Whatever the level of your confession is, that's where God will meet you at. But if you walk around with this low mentality of, I'm just barely going to squeak by, that's what you'll receive. There are times after you're born again that you will struggle with your flesh. As Christians, we need to learn to let this new man that's on the inside of us dominate the outward man. Because when you're born again, your spirit, your soul, and your body. And so the new man is the person, your spirit, on the inside of you. But you need to let that new man dominate the outside, the flesh, the part of you that says, I want to go back to the beer joint. I want to do this. I want to hang out with the people that I used to hang out with, and they got me in trouble. That's your flesh. When it starts talking, that new man on the inside of you needs to say, shut up. We ain't doing that no more. Sometimes when Christians go through trials and temptation, the devil will tell Christians, you must not even be saved, because if you were saved, you wouldn't want to do that. But your new man on the inside, he doesn't want to do wrong. But your flesh will fight with you. And evidently, the Apostle Paul, he must have had some trouble with his flesh because he said, I'm not going to let my body dominate me. I bring my body under subjection. I keep it under, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So ask the Lord to help you if you're having trouble with the flesh. When a sinner comes to Jesus, his sins are remitted. That means his sins are blotted out. Your sins are washed away. Everything that you've done before you came to Jesus, before you asked Jesus to come into your life, has been blotted out. You've become a new man or woman in Christ Jesus, and he does not see anything. God does not see anything in your life before the moment you came to be born again. And then after you're born again and you've asked Jesus into your heart and life, then the Christian receives forgiveness of sins. If you've committed a sin, you go to the Lord. You say, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you. Hebrews 8:12 says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. No more. So quit going fishing for it. And yes, the devil will bring things to your mind. You remember what you did. You did this. You did that. You were evil. You had all these things wrong in your life. And now you're coming around. Yes, you got saved, but now you're asking God to do big things for you. What makes you think God will do anything for you? That's when you rise up and you say, because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. All of those things, they are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're not recycled. You know what? We have recycled bottles, recycled all this paper and all this kind of stuff. You are not a recycled Christian. You are brand new. Woo! Now, let's talk for a minute about righteousness. Get ready. Get ready. Seriously. This is, I tell you what, I thought I was going to run a lap around my house last night. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Too often we have associated righteousness with good works. And the Bible does. When I talked about this last week, about good works and about right conduct, we need that, of course, as part of what the Bible teaches. But all of our good works and right conduct will never make you righteous. Because if your good works and your good conduct made you righteous, you wouldn't need Jesus. And another untruth about righteousness is that we've thought that we've had to grow into some kind of a high spiritual state. Woo, you know, one of those kind of people, those spooky people. And that they go into some high spiritual state. You know what? No. Yes, we can grow in the Lord, and we should grow in the Lord. That's wonderful. But you do know that you cannot grow in righteousness because it's a gift. And if you're a born-again believer, you will never be more righteous than you are right now. Nobody taught this to me when I was growing up, so that's why I'm beating you over the head with it, because I tell you what, this stuff will set you free. Most of us want the bottom line. I'm the kind of person, being righteous, what does that mean? Well, first of all, righteous means that you are in right standing with a holy God. Hallelujah. You don't deserve that. You don't deserve to be in right standing with God, but because of what Jesus did, he made it possible. Romans 5:17. No, we're going to take a minute on this. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, now this is talking about Adam when he sinned in the garden. He's the one that did this. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in heaven. Where? In this life? Oh, let's do it again. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not supposed to be victims. We're supposed to be reigning in life with Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. Ah, when you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and life, you received the gift of righteousness. Did you know that righteousness was a gift to you? When you kneel down, you say, Jesus, come into my heart and life. The gift of righteousness is given to you. And that's talking about here on earth, not when we get to heaven. Yes, we will be reigning with Christ throughout eternity when we get to heaven. But this is talking about right here, right now, we are supposed to reign in this life. But the question is, are you reigning in life? Well, what does this mean to reign? Well, back in Paul's day, when he wrote this, there were kings who reigned and who had authority. We have authority. We were made to reign as kings in life through Christ Jesus. I like how and kings have dominion and authority. The Amplified Bible of Romans 5:17 says, For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, or offense, death reigns through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace. Anybody in here saved this morning before I go any further? No, I want you to raise your hand. Are you saved? Then that means you've received this. I'm telling you, I'm about to preach me happy here. Woo, son. Because it says so that, for if because of one man's trespass, lapse, or offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing unmerited favor and the free gift of righteousness, putting them in right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Hallelujah! Whoa! So as kings reigning here on earth, we have authority and we have dominion through the Lord Jesus. We need to take dominion over sickness. That's what Wayne did. That's what some of the rest of you have done. Till you stand up and you say, I take dominion over this sickness. I take dominion over every symptom that rises up in your body and my body. I take dominion over every foul thing in my house, everything that anybody's bringing in my house. If there's any la 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 mo she unda la mo si. You don't have to put up with this garbage anymore. Take dominion. You are not a beggar in this life, barely making it through. You reign as kings and queens of the Lord. You stand up. You have dominion. Use it. Take dominion over your doubts. Speak to them. Take dominion over thoughts that are coming against your mind. And you say, these are not my thoughts. I don't take these thoughts. I cast them down in the name of Jesus. We need to take dominion over legalism. What is legalism? It's man-made rules. People who say things like, if you don't read 4 chapters a day, don't even think you're going to heaven. If that's the case, I would be in trouble because sometimes I don't get all 4 chapters. But you know what? I read my chapter a day for sure, and then more than that, but for sure I get about a chapter a day, but I'm not going to worry. You know what? I made up my mind back in 1993, something like that, and I said, I'm going to read the Bible through. And back at that time, people were saying things like, you got to read the Bible through in a year. You got to read it through in a year. They even put out Bibles. Read it in a year. Well, okay. If you can read it in a year, good for you. But you know what? I thought to myself, what? Is somebody going to do a citizen's arrest on me if I don't make it in a year? Somebody going to come up and say, citizen's arrest, citizen's arrest. No. I said, I'm going to read this Bible through until I get it. And it took me 3 years because I took my time and I read it on my own time schedule. And you know what? I was so blessed. God changed my life. And then legalism is also, people have told you, maybe told you in the past, you know, how long is long and how short is short, and makeup and jewelry and all that. I remember a preacher getting up when I was just a young girl. I was very vulnerable. I was 16 years old. I just got my class ring, and some young evangelist came sweeping through town, and he gave a list. He said, you cannot do this. You cannot do this. And I think if I remember right, he said, you need to lay down your class ring. What? I just got it. You know, but that's how it was back then. And I did. I took it off. because I thought that I would be more saved if I did that. But you know what I found out later on? You can't add to what Jesus has already done. He paid it. You can't add on by if you wear your hair short or long or makeup or no makeup or jewelry. And I tell you what, I'll just say it. Yes, I will. There have been people I've met, they've had sleeves down to here and a big old bun on the back of their head, and they were some of the nastiest people I've ever met. Should I move on? Okay. Because holiness, you want to talk about holiness? God told me where holiness starts at, and it's on the inside. And it works its way outside. You can have dominion over drugs and bad habits that are doing things to your body, that's hurting your body. You can take dominion over that. And the next time that fear rises its ugly head and starts telling you what you have and telling you, showing you a picture, Satan will, he will paint you a picture of ugly things like he did with you guys the other night and other, and what they did. He will paint you a picture of you in a casket. He will paint you a picture of all your loved ones standing around your casket looking at you because you died of that thing. He is a liar. And whatever he shows you, believe the opposite. If he shows you in the casket, you see yourself dancing around somewhere. Don't you sit there and say, oh, well, wonder what kind of flowers are going to bring to my funeral. No, no. You get your dance on in your living room. Shh. Hallelujah. Christians pray and they pray, which is a good thing. It's very important. Very, very important to pray. But you also need to take action. Moses did when he came to the Red Sea. The Egyptians were coming. He could almost feel their hot breath on the back of his neck. And he was praying and praying. But there came a moment where he stood up and he took the rod that God gave him and he stretched it out over the Red Sea and watched that thing part in half and they walked over on dry ground. What if Moses had just had sit there and just kept on praying and praying? No, he had to stand up and take action. It's good to pray. In James 5 and 16 it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And look at this. The effective, fervent prayer of who? Of the preacher. I'm sorry. The effective, fervent prayer of the Sunday school teacher. Do we have any righteous people in here? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, much. Effective, fervent prayer of a little six-year-old back there in his class avails much. This is talking about you and me this morning. If you're born again, then you are the righteousness of God, and according to this verse, your prayers avail much. The New Living Translation says it like this. I love it. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. You know, back in when I was a kid, they used to pray what they call pray the power down. Anybody remember that? We need to do that. You pray. I mean, the power of God is always here. But I'm telling you, there's a thing about you could pray until the glory of God comes down and things start changing. And you could do that in your own home. You don't have to have me or some other preacher come in your house and start taking dominion over things. You do it. You have authority. So we see that it's important to pray, but then there's a time to get up and boldly declare what the Word of God says about your situation. Do you remember the story of Joshua when he was in the heat of the battle and he spoke to the sun and he spoke to the moon and he said, stand still. Stand still. And did you know that scientists to this day are wondering, how in the world did we lose a day? Praying is great and we need to do more of it, but we also need to stand up and speak God's word, take dominion in our households. And you don't have to have anybody to come in and do that, because if you're a righteous person, and that means if you're saved and you are the righteousness of God, you can do this. You can stand up and take dominion. Too many Christians are barely getting by in every area of life when actually they're supposed to be reigning in life. Righteousness is a gift given to you when you receive Jesus into your heart and life. And the Word of God tells us that those that are righteous will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. I got to tell you, I'm just, you know, don't let me offend anybody, but I don't see that many Christians reigning. I'm serious. I see too many defeated Christians. I see too many Christians that are like, you know, how are we going to make it? What's going to happen? You know, this kind of thing. And they run to other people to get them to pray. And there's nothing wrong to get somebody to help you pray, to come into agreement. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But you know what? When you start realizing that you're supposed to reign as kings in this life, it's going to start changing your life and how you see things. When you rise up in your authority and in your dominion and you start taking dominion in your house. And I want to finish with Psalms 8. And then I'm going to get Tommy and Tammy to come up and we're going to sing some more. And at that time, if anyone needs prayer, Donna, be sure to come back up here. And anyone else that needs prayer, I just wanted to get some word in you this morning. It's important to have the word inside of you. Psalms 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you have visited him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. And he's talking about us right here. You have made him to what? What has God made us to do? To have dominion over the works of your hands. And you have put all things under, where is it? The devil is not supposed to be up here talking in your face and telling you all this bunch of lies. He is supposed, under there. Let me just scrape that off for a minute, because I just, let me get the devil off of my shoe, because you see, he's under my feet. He's supposed to be under your feet. That's what the Bible says. It says you have made him, and that's talking about us, to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. And you know, I'm just going to say this real quick. I read a story by Charles Capps, or actually I heard him, and he was talking about how that when he goes fishing, if the fish are not biting, he takes dominion over them, and they start coming up one at a time. Because what does it say right there? I heard him tell one time about going fishing with a man, another preacher. These are two faith, mighty men of God, faith preachers that would probably rather cut off their tongue almost than to tell a lie, one of those fishing stories. He said they went fishing together, and the Charles Capps, he's an older, he was just a farmer. He was just out in his field, and he was like 40-something years old. All he knew to do was be a farmer. God called him to preach in his 40s. And so, you know, he started preaching the gospel and going. Next thing, God gave him a plane and said, start going to different places all over the place. But he's just a real laid-back farmer. You know, I love this guy. But he says that one day he took a younger preacher out with him, and this man is a mighty man of God. They went out fishing, and they were out in the boat in this water. And so Charles Capps was catching one fish right after the other. And the younger preacher goes, well, what's up? You know, he goes, where's my fish? And he said, well, I took dominion over my fish, and they're coming up. So he prayed a little bit, and he cast his favorite lure, or whatever you call that thing, out there. He threw it out there. And a fish came up, and he got it, and he bit it. But he broke the line and swam off with his favorite plug, whatever that thing is. He swam off with it. And the preacher turned around to Charles Capps and said, he's got my favorite plug there. He's got my favorite lure. And he goes, take dominion. So he stood up in the boat. He said, fish, I take dominion over you in the name of Jesus. Give me back my favorite lure. my favorite plug. And so they went drifting down the water about 100 feet. And he said, Charles Cabot said, he just about that time he turned around. Now, you're not going, this is the truth. Trust me. This fish jumped up in the water and went, and spit that out. We have dominion. We have dominion. Maybe some of you need to have first take dominion over the ants in your house or something. But at some point, you need to take dominion over sickness, disease, depression, whatever it is. You, I've read it to you. If you are the righteousness of God, if you're saved, then the Bible says that you are supposed to reign as kings. Hallelujah. Everyone stand up. Tammy and Tommy, come on. And I want everyone that would like to have prayer this morning, come on up here, and we're going to pray.